today. Are you rejoicing? There's so much to rejoice about. There really is, you know. Even when we go through trials and tribulations, we can rejoice that we know the Lord and He holds us mightily, lovingly, caringly with His hand. Amen? And He guides us through. Even those valleys of the shadow of darkness and death, He's there with us to bring us through. For His glory, but also for a greater work of His grace in our lives. I'd like to invite you to take out your outline as we continue in our series on five words that give hope and healing to marriage and to family. This morning we're looking at truth. Now obviously it's the words in and of themselves. We can say truth, 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 truth in our marriage, and truth, 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 truth in our family. And it's not going to do anything until we believe it and we start by living it and sharing it and speaking the truth. So it's not just words as a mantra to say, but words that represent what God wants to do in your life, in my life, in your marriage, in my marriage, in your family and in my family. And certainly we see it in a greater way too. We see it what God wants to do. So what these words represent in His family, our church family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So, truth. Pilate asked Jesus Christ there in John, what is truth? And you see, even back then, people had problems with truth. And yes, you could even say, and if the truth be known, and it must be known because it's in God's Word, the truth of the matter is that the problem with truth, knowing it and living it, began right there in the garden, in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve were faced with non-truth, with lies, deceptions, by the evil one, by Satan, attacking God's character, attacking God's word, His commands, attacking God's truth. And so that's when the problem began, when Adam and Eve, they believed a lie instead of believing the truth. And just look what they got us all into. How it's affected our marriages. How it's affected our families. Well, let's get a little personal. How it's affected you and me personally. How we deal with the truth. Why is truth and knowing what is true important? Well, for one reason, it's a matter of life or death, literally. Knowing the truth and believing in the truth is a matter of life and death, eternal life and eternal death. There's another reason why it's important, too. It's a matter of living with a clear sense of reality, because truth defines reality that we live in. Not the reality that CNN or Fox News or all these other news stations and media is trying to promote, or what Hollywood is trying to promote, or what the culture that we're always in, that we're always affected by, no matter where we go, that wants to redefine what reality is. God's truth defines your reality and my reality and the reality of our marriages as well as the reality of our families. And so many times we see marriages and families not living in the reality that God says they are, but self-deceiving, denying the truth of where they are in their marriage, denying the truth of where they are with their children, denying the truth of where their children are with the Lord. At least you said that's not reality. And that's not living according to the truth. And so yes, truth is important. It's a matter of living with a clear sense of reality as God has presented reality to us in His Word and the work of His Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's a matter of living with integrity and with trust. With integrity and trust. If you see, if nothing was true, like sometimes people say here in our culture, because everything is relative, they tell us. Well, what's true for you doesn't have to be true for me. Just as long as you're sincere. Well, you know, the terrorists, they're very sincere in what they do. Blowing up themselves and people. They're very sincere, but they're sincerely right, they're sincerely wrong. Because you see, their reality is not God's reality for them. The importance of the truth, not only in our lives, but in our marriages and in our families. Follow with me as we continue, and we eventually, this is kind of a preface to, a truth is important because it's the one sure weapon against the attacks of Satan's lies. We see that in Scripture, we see that in the life of Jesus Christ. But again, in our culture, have you noticed? Now everything's about fake news. Have you noticed that? But let's call it what it is. It's a lie. They don't want to call it what it is. Why? Because they don't believe that there are absolute truths. And so for some, in their construct of reality, that's true for them. And they want to press it upon you as being true for you. And it's not. So we have that issue of certain, if you will, certain resources that we used to trust in, they're no longer trustworthy. Because they're not telling the truth. We see this not only in the media, we see this sociologically within schools and the educational system. We see this in the judicial system too. We also see it in politics.
Yeah, duh. Of course, right?
But it's all around us. So, what is our responsibility, yours and mine, in knowing the truth and dealing with the truth rightly in our marriages and in our families? Your outline before you. What does God say about truth? Certainly it's extremely important. Some of the words that are used, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, emet, which means that which is firm and stable. That which you can really count on, you can depend upon. That's how God looks at truth. His truth. Not the world's truth. Not Satan's lies. But His truth. It's firm. It's stable. It's faithful. It's trustworthy. It's reliable. It brings about integrity in one's life. Also, the word there in the New Testament, aletheia, we see these words repeated throughout the Word of God. Aletheia, that which is true, that which is trustworthy, that which is sure and faithful. Take a look at some of the passages, how God presents His truth for you and I, to receive it, to believe in it, to act on it. Teach me Your way, O Lord, that I may walk in Your truth. Unite my heart to fear Your name. We'll never properly, biblically fear God until we know the truth. But You are near, O Lord, and all Your commandments are true. Again, John 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. For you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Again, in that same context of discussion, the Lord says, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And what Jesus was saying is that yes, the truth will set you free. Set you free from the bonds and the penalty and the power of sin through Me, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus was saying that He is synonymous with truth. The truth is Christ, and Christ is the truth. Of His own will He, brought us forth. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, as James. Jesus, in high priestly prayer there in John 17, He says, sanctify them in what? In the truth. Your word is truth. Interesting word, sanctify. From that word we get sanctification. What does that mean? So often we hear, and rightly so, need to be separated unto God for His use and for His glory. But there's another aspect of sanctify or sanctification. That means to bring about change. To bring about change in your life and my life, where God's sanctifying work of His truth brings about a change in our marriages, a righteous change, brings about a change in our families, a righteous change. And the Lord says, and the Lord prayed, Father, sanctify them with Thy truth. Your word is true. Let's go on as we continue in our study. Clearly, God's word, the Bible, is truth. Truth, as you see in your outline before you, truth, God's truth is reliable. You can count upon it. Take a look at Psalm 119, verse 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. God's truth is enduring. Take a look at Luke chapter 21, verse 33. You have there before you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You see, the world doesn't want to hear this. They say, well, there's new truth. There's new theories. That from those theories will develop a new truth. But really, I love it when Billy Graham once said, you know, the new morality is nothing more than the old immorality. You see, the new lives are nothing more than the old lives. Do you want truth? Can you handle the truth? Yes, we can, by God's grace. And truth will bring a change in our lives. Let's take a look. God's truth is life-giving. You have been born again, it says there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. You have been born again to the living and abiding word of God. God's truth is not only life-giving, but it's also living and active. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Yes, God's word is God's truth. They're synonymous. Hold up your Bible. You can take the Pew Bible. We go in this place. Now, we're not going to go through what Joel Osteen usually goes through. But this book that you have in your hand is not just any old book. It's called the Holy Bible. Do you believe it? It's called God's truth. Do you believe it? If we believe that this is God's word, inspired by God as it declares, and God has declared it, and we believe that indeed it will bring about a change in our lives, and we believe that it's true, the next question must be asked, do we really want that change? Do we really want that change? We're talking about five words. What they mean in scripture and application that can bring healing and hope to marriages and families. We find that right here in God's word. That's why truth is so important. It's important to God, for He is truth. It's His very character and nature. It's important to His children, you will not. We should not only be truth followers, but also truth tellers. If we believe that this is God's word, God's Holy Bible, God's truth, do we want the change that His truth holds forth to each other? That's a question only you can answer. Some of you have answered that already. In your outline before you, God's truth is foundational for our marriages and families. I'll be honest with you, there was a time in my marriage and my family where God's word, God's truth is not foundational. I thought I knew it. And I realized I didn't. I blew it many times. But I knew at one time, when God got my heart, my wife's heart, that that's where it had to begin. That's where the foundation had to be laid in our marriage and in our family. You see, God's truth is foundational for our lives for our marriages, for our families. Take a look at her, if you will. One of the parables that the Lord is saying, just to convey his truth and the importance that truth, his words, his teaching, they're all true, are to be foundational. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded upon what? Upon the rock. Circle that, if you will, the rock. That's the foundation. What was the rock? Well, in this parable, the rock was his teaching, his truth. Let's go on. And everyone who hears the words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Very clear. I don't think, you know, it doesn't take rocket science to understand what the Lord is saying. That's why I love those parables. They're so practical, so basic, and so simple for a simple guy like me. What he's saying to me, Bill and Diana, and your family, there's only one foundation that's going to give you stability, and it's going to give you any hope of healing and any strength for the future and the future generations. And that foundation is the teaching, the truth from God himself. Take a look again at this parable. You see, first of all, there are two kinds of foundations. One is the rock, which is true, the teachings of Jesus Christ, God's word, the Bible. The other is disobedience, hearing and not obeying, not putting our lives in submission to God's truth. And so it's likened unto a foundation of sand. So there's two kinds of foundations. I need to ask you, beloved, oh dear one, what is the foundation in your marriage? What is the foundation in your family? I pray for you regularly. I pray that God's word, God's truth, is the foundation for your marriage. I pray that God's truth is the foundation for your family. I pray that God's truth is the foundation for God's family right here. And we'll see a little bit more about how that works out and how that's applied. But here in this parable, that emphasizes the fact that God's truth is foundational for marriage, for life, and for families. Two kinds of foundations. One kind of experience. They both experienced storms, didn't they? And you know, no matter what foundation you have for your marriage or for your family, you're going to have life storms. That's a given in this sin-cursed world that we live in. So it behooves us, every one of us who profess the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who know that he is the truth, to make sure that we have that foundation, that rock, that truth. For the storms that you and I will face, not if, but will. Notice not only two foundations, one kind of experience, but two kinds of outcomes. The one that had the firm foundation on the teaching, the truth of Jesus Christ, it was stability, strength, and it endured, persevered. But the other one fell apart. Destruction. Did not work. I'm going to say something, but I want you to be sure that I understand that a lot of things enter into life relationships. But I'm more and more convinced that a lot of Christian marriages falter and fall apart because they don't have that firm foundation. And they don't act upon that firm foundation. And then we wonder why things are falling apart in our relationship with each other. And we wonder why things are falling apart in the lives of our children when they get married, when they have families. I realize a lot of things in this sin-cursed world come into relationships. A lot of it won't come in if you don't let it. But first and foremost, we need to tell our kids, we need to show our kids, we need to pray that our kids have a firm foundation in their lives, in their marriages, and in their families. Would you agree with that? Using God's truth is to be intentional. What we mean is intentional in our marriages and families. What we mean by intentional, that which with purpose, with a plan, with determination, with diligence. That's what is meant by the word intentional. That the word, God's truth, is to be intentionally used in our marriages and families. It's not that hidden foundation. You say, well, I've got the foundation. I'm trusting in Jesus, and I'm reading His Word every day. I read the Bible through every year and everything else. But there has to be an intentional utilization, application of that truth. Intentionally. Take a look, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Talks about that intentionality, if you will. That determination, that diligence. Remind them, Paul says to Timothy, because Timothy was a pastor there in Ephesus. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruin the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. I believe part of my calling to the ministry as a pastor is to remind myself and remind you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and to charge you before God. And we're not playing church here. The Word of God, God's truth, is important. What I shared from God's Word this morning, I charge you before God, and I remind you two things from this passage. Let's take a look, if you will. Two things. First of all, be diligent about what really matters. I'm surprised, sometimes, and Heidi and I have done the same thing, I'll tell you. Oh boy, when are we going to wake up? Have you found yourself, you're arguing about something small and almost inconsequential? Are we the only ones? Brothers, sisters, pray for us. In your families, did you find too, like we have found too, sometimes we make big things out of small things, and we get to arguing? Is this resonating with anybody here? Raise your hand. Okay, two things out of this passage. If we're really intentional about applying God's truth, first of all, we need to determine what really matters. And God tells us here in His Word, there's a lot of quarrels and everything else that goes on, the words that are spoken, they really don't matter. What matters is intentionally speaking truth into the lives of our kids and our grandkids, living that truth before them. So first thing is, being intentional about what really matters in our marriages and in our families, with our children and our grandchildren. I guess to help facilitate that thinking, if you will, what really matters as opposed to what doesn't matter? We could all give a whole list about what doesn't matter, but let me just share two questions about really getting zeroed in on really what matters for a marriage and for a family. Do you love God? Do you love God? There's nothing wrong. In fact, truth dictates that we even ask our children that. Do you love God? Second question. Are you really committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, having answered those from your heart with sincerity, based on God's revealed truth in the gospel of His Son, yes, I love the Lord my God because He first loved me and brought me to Himself. I am now one of His saved children. I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. Yes, I'm committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, answering those two questions with a yes, a life commitment of yes, you have the basis then to determine what really matters in your marriage and in your family and what really doesn't. Second thing, be diligent to prioritize the word of truth. That's what he's saying here. Rightly handling the word of truth. Prioritize the word of truth in your family. The word rightly handling here, or rightly dividing the truth. In fact, the word literally means to cut straight. Two words put together, to cut straight. And I hope and pray that, you know, that we will all agree that when there's teaching going on or preaching going on here at South Mountain Bible Church, we will cut straight with the truth. And I pray that you and I, in our marriages and in our families, we will cut straight with the truth. What I mean is we're not going to hedge on it. When our daughters are going out and they're dating a guy who's not saved, we cut straight with the truth. No, that's wrong. Or with our sons are doing the same thing. We cut straight with the truth. Be not unbeliever. When our children, or when we are concerning, well, you know, I really don't like this gal that I've been living with for 52 years. I think we're just going to call it quits. Wait a second. God wants me to cut straight with the truth in Matthew and said, no. God defines on the basis of what divorce is. God hates divorce. There are biblical bases for divorce, and then we'll get to that someday in the future. But to cut straight with the truth, there's no, well, you know, I'm really tired of this relationship. I'm going to get out of it. You'll not hear that from this pulpit. You'll not hear that from the teachers that teach in the Sunday school classroom. You'll not hear that in the small groups here at South Mountain Bible School. Why? Because we endeavor to cut straight with the truth. Cutting straight with the truth is also being upfront and saying the Christian life is first seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. Instead, we challenge our kids to be successful, to do this, to do that, achieve this, achieve that. And we've left the priority of God's kingdom behind. You're not cutting straight with the truth if you do that with your kids or your grandkids. We can still be successful and achieve by the grace of God, but we need to set the kingdom of God as a priority. Seeking His righteousness. And He will open the doors. God's truth, another point, God's truth is relational in our marriages and families. Take a look at what Paul says again to Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned, and if you're a believer, knowing it from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The importance of the truth of the family is relational. We pass on the truth of God to our children. We pass on the truth of God to our grandchildren. That's exactly what Timothy's mom and grandmother did. They passed on the truth of salvation, God's word to them, the importance of it, teaching in the home. Not just relying on it to be taught in Sunday school. I praise God that the word of truth is being taught in the Sunday school classes here, in our small groups, in our youth groups, in our youth ministries. But know that you know and you have a loving relationship with Christ. Do you know that your children do? Nothing wrong with asking them. In fact, it's imperative to ask them. Do you have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ? Oh, I know. Hey, we've raised 3 kids. We have 5 grandkids. Sometimes kids will tell you what you want to hear, what they think you want to hear. I understand that. But that does not invalidate the truth of that question. That does not invalidate the importance of asking that question. Because God will use questions like that to the very heart and soul of a son, a daughter, a grandson, a granddaughter. Do you love the Lord God as your Lord and Savior? Paul reminded Timothy of how he learned these things. How he's learned that truth, which made him wise into salvation. We need to teach our children as Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him the importance of having a relationship with the Lord God. Don't just teach them about sin. We need to teach our children about sin. Don't just teach them about sin. And what I mean by that is sometimes parents get into a neighborhood. I've been there with Scott and with Kim and with Rachel. But sometimes in our teaching and our parenting, all we do is we teach them about this is wrong, this is bad, this is sin. And we've not really taught them and showed them the living, breathing, loving solution to their life problems is Jesus Christ. Have we spoken to our children more negatively about their behavior and less about Jesus? The heart of the matter is, you and I, even as parents, can never change the heart of our children or our grandchildren. You know that, I know that. But they need to hear. They need to see. They need to love that one who came to change your hearts. If we never ask them, don't rely on the Sunday school teacher to ask them. Don't rely on the Good News Club teacher to ask them. Oh, they will. They will. But don't let others do your work. They work with us. God's truth is relational in marriages and families. God's truth is transformational in marriages and families. God's truth brings change. It gives hope. It gives healing. Take a look at 2 Timothy. You have that verse before you. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture inspired by God. And it is profitable. Well, gee, profitable. I like that word, okay? I like a profit, don't you? Well, we all do. Nothing just like deficits or debts or something like that. Anything negative. God's inspired word is profitable for four things. Four ways that God's word works in our marriages and in our families. And I can tell you, and I can attest to this, I know it works. Because he's working in my marriage, and he's working in my family, and my grandkids' lives. Not that they don't have problems. We just heard this past week of some issues, too, that are going on in our grandkids' lives. I won't tell you that, okay? But I know that God's word is working. I thank the Lord for that. So it's transformational. All scripture is breathed out by God. It's inspired and profitable for what? For teaching. Circle that. For teaching. Number two, for reproof. Children need to be reproved. But don't end there. Don't end there. Please. For correction. Children need to be corrected. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. And for what? Training. Four things, four ways that the Word of God works in our marriages and in our families. And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. God's truth works because God's Word is God's truth inspired. How do you make it transformational? Let me share. You can write these things down if you want. But let me share a couple of things for you. One of the ways of making God's truth relational and transformational in your marriage and family, regular family time of prayer and Bible reading. Regular family time. When you have the grandkids over, have a regular time with them. And I know I'm speaking mostly to grandparents, but I am speaking to a few parents. Have regular Bible time and prayer. Memorize scripture. Challenge them to memorize scripture. Give them rewards. I don't mean a cheap thing. Give them rewards, something that really counts. It's worth it. Memorize scripture. Learn the books of the Bible. Start young. Learn the books of the Bible. Number four, read the Bible in a year. Every year, have that plan to read through the Bible for yourself. Attend Sunday school together. 10 Sunday school together. I believe there's a real importance about our Bible Institute here at South Mountain Bible Church. Where's our Bible Institute? Sunday school classes. That's our Bible Institute. Why? Because we believe in the truth. We believe that God's Word is truth. We believe that God's Word works. We believe that God's Word is transformational. It really is. Something else you might want to consider to see the transformational power and work of God's Word. Make a list. Not a long list. Don't make a list of do's and don'ts. But I'm going to challenge you, as parents and as grandparents, make a list of at least four or five values that you have as a family. And put them up on the refrigerator. Or put them on the wall. Values. Something like this. I'm not going to say what your values should be, but let me suggest something. Values like love for God. We as a family, we love God. That's a value. We as a family, we put family first. Oh yes, we put God first. But after God, we put the family next. That's a value. I see some parents and I see some grandparents not doing that. Not putting their family in a place of priority. When they have so many other things, so many other places to go to. When the family should come first. Love for God, put the family first. Practice forgiveness. That's a value. Practice forgiveness. Our kids need to know that. That we practice forgiveness. Next one, tell the truth. That's a value. They need to know that that's our family value. Hey, you're part of the great family. You know what our value is? We tell the truth. You know what our value is? We love God. You know what our value is? We put family first. Because you're part of our family. And we share these values together. You see, our kids and our grandkids, they need to know what our values are. Be thankful. That's a value. How many kids take things for granted? Mine did. Now they're all grown up. Now they have to work for things. You know what I mean. But to learn to be thankful, that's a value. That's a family value. A great family. Now I'm not saying these have to be your values. But I want you to pray about that you can state four or five values that you have as a family, and you can share those with your children and your grandchildren. We can trust God's Word to effectually work in our marriages and families. This is where it all starts, folks. How do you lay that foundation? How do your kids lay that foundation? How do we lay that foundation of God's truth in our marriages and families? It starts right here. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive what? The word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. The word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. God's word is effective. God's word works. Two things I want you to take a note. I want you to circle. First of all, receive the word. Circle that. Receive the word. The next one, welcome it. Welcome it. I want to share an illustration. To receive and to welcome. They sound almost synonymous, don't they? Well, not quite. They're two different words. You see, the Thessalonians, they received the word of God, what they had heard. It's sort of like Jesus is standing outside of your life, outside of your marriage, outside of the door of your family. And he's talking. He's speaking truth to you. And you open the door to receive him because you heard his voice. You heard his truth. Why? Because you were listening. That's inherent to this word here, where they heard. They were listening. Dear, the door's open. You're ready to receive him. Now you invite him in and you welcome him. You see, that's where the foundation gets laid. When you hear the voice, and the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, they know my voice. If you hear the voice,
outside of your life, outside of your marriage, outside of your family, and you hear Jesus' voice, open the door to receive him and then welcome him in. He does not come in as a guest, though. Sometimes we treat him just as a guest. And maybe you have treated him just as a guest. Oh, Lord Jesus, come into our home. Celebrate with us. No, he comes in as Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. Not as a guest. He comes in as Lord and Savior. We need to receive upon hearing his voice. Open the door. And if he's not coming to your marriage, if he's not coming to your family, will you welcome him in and invite him in right now to be the Lord and Savior of your marriage and your family? Will you? That's when the foundation is laid. That's when it begins. If you haven't, you'll never see how the truth can bring healing. You'll never see how God's truth can bring hope. You'll never see how God's truth can transform the lives of your children, your grandchildren. Because in your life, you kept Christ this far. And when kids grow up, he says, oh, I know about him. I've gone to Sunday school. I've even been baptized. He's this far. You see, when truth matters, it's when it really matters to you. That's when truth matters. Have you received him? He's knocking. He's speaking. Have you welcomed him in to your life, to your marriage, to your family? You say, well, Pastor, my kids are all grown up and they have kids and their kids. Well, beloved, you can start right now. You can start right now. You'd be very wrong by going down the path you're going right now and not saying enough. Lord, I need a change. Lord, begin now. Lord, I hear your voice. Lord, I receive and I welcome you in to my life, to my marriage, and to my family. Truth matters, but it really matters to you. It matters all the time because truth is true. But in our personal relationship with it, it matters, but it matters to you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love, your grace. We thank you for your truth that's enduring. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your truth, your word, will endure forever. Lord, help us to receive and welcome you fully into our hearts, into our marriages, into our families. Help us, Lord Jesus, by being the Lord and Savior of our lives, of our marriages and families, to lay that foundation of your truth for our families. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see its transformational power in our lives, in the lives of our children. Help us to be intentional and diligent about that, Lord, we pray. Only you can enable that. Only you can do that in our hearts. But Lord, we want you to do that now. For your glory. For the magnification of your Son, Jesus Christ, in this generation and the generations to come. Amen.